May be seated. And it is good to be here. What a week. Tomorrow we have to make another market run. That's going to be interesting. We're bringing our lunch and water, and hopefully we'll get through. It's crazy the way people react. But God has made it easy for us to find what we need, so I'm sure it'll be fine. We finished the book of Jonah today. And you know, people say this book's about different things, but it's really about God's love for the world. People say, what, Jonah? It's about destruction coming. It's about God's love for the world. God doesn't just love Israel. God doesn't just love the United States. God doesn't just love Christians. God doesn't just love the children. God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to pay for the sins of the world. And today, all have that opportunity because God loves all. Sometimes we think God is localized, our group, or whoever we are. The book of Jonah teaches us about God's great love of mercy, grace, and it teaches us how we should be and what our attitude should be. Jonah was a prophet. We've gone over this. Ordered by God to go to Nineveh. Evil city. Enemies of Israel. Brutal, evil people. Great city in the Assyrian Empire. But a city of the Gentiles. Enemies of Israel. Jonah refused. Boarded a ship, headed the other direction. Tried to run away from God. The Lord dealt with Jonah. Great storm came up. The mariners found out it's his fault. They threw him overboard. But God prepared a great fish to swallow him. Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the flesh, of the whale. Jonah prayed in that place of being incarcerated. And God heard him. Jonah acknowledged. And we see in Jonah 2, verse 9, that salvation is of the Lord. Hey, the Lord's the only one that can save me. That's it. Jonah is getting his head right with God, but not his heart. And there's a difference. People can know God up here and about God and quote scripture, but is it in their heart and do they live it? That's where it's real. See, God is and Jesus are not just another subject in school. You learn and then you bring it up when you need it. He's life. Not something you just learn and then put the book down. Something you live. Jesus, God. The Lord spoke, the fish vomited Jonah onto dry land and gave him the same instruction. We read that last week. In chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. I still want you to go to Nineveh. Maybe you've been resisting the Lord. And you wake up in the morning and he's telling you the same thing. Do this. Oh, later. Tomorrow. Jonah obeyed. He went and he preached to Nineveh. We read last week. Not sure about his attitude. He kept the message very short. Just what the Lord said. You know, he says, Nineveh, 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. They got the point. They believed. They turned to God from the king on down. It shows you the power of God's word. When you just stick to his word, he can change countries. Now, if the king and hundreds of thousands of people believed, let me ask you this. If the whole country, the United States, became believers, would you be happy? Wow. All our leaders and all the people, believers, would you be happy? We'd be rejoicing here this morning because they know the Lord. What a day that would be. What a day of rejoicing that would be. We sing that song. So is Jonah excited? His enemies repented? God spared them? Verse 1. It displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. Wow. What an attitude. Sometimes we need attitude adjustments. That was big in the 70s. Hey, you need an attitude adjustment. I don't know if any of you remember that. You got to change. You got to get with the new program. Love, you know, all this stuff they were bringing up. No, Jonah has no love or mercy or godliness. In Jonah's life, in his heart, he reigns and not God, even though he knows God. And it comes out. Because when God does something great, not for him, but for others, two words here, displeased and angry. Wow. What an attitude. God, why did you save everybody in this country? A prophet led by the flesh. He's not yielded and surrendered to the Lord. God was pleased. Heaven was pleased. All of heaven was rejoicing. Let's turn to Luke 15, please. Luke chapter 15. Luke 15, verse 8. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost." Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. They go, "Hooray!" There's rejoicing in heaven right now. They're rejoicing in Jonah's displeased and angry. He wanted his enemies to be destroyed. He was on the throne. He wanted his will done. When you and I pray for our enemies, and we are too, Jesus said, love your enemies. When you pray over sinners, your enemies, unbelievers, don't pray for their destruction. See, I pray, God, kill them. No. That's anti-scriptural. If we say we believe in the Bible, then our actions need to show it. We pray for repentance, for salvation, and we need to be joyful when one repents. Jonah doesn't realize how bad off he is. His heart is bad. He's got anger in there. We often misjudge ourselves, overrate ourselves, don't realize what a bad attitude we have. Did you ever get discouraged with yourself? And you look in the mirror and you say, how could I have said that? Why did I do that? And we usually say to someone else, that's not really who I am. And you know what I say? That's the problem. That's who you really are. The natural man. By the grace of God, I'm different. I must walk in the Spirit. Anytime anyone tells me that, oh, that's not really who I am, I say, oh, that's the problem. That is who you are, and that's who I am. And it comes out. We need to walk in the Spirit. Not quench the Spirit. We overrate ourselves. We justify ourselves in the flesh. We say, oh, they're bad. Wipe them out. They're bad. They're not like us. World would be a better place without them. What does God say? Preach salvation and hope. Pray that they would be saved. You know, I think of it this way. When an unbeliever dies, they're going to hell. They have no second chance. That's why I don't like to see unbelievers die. because then it's all over. While they're alive, there's still a chance. Jonah prayed, verse 2. So he prayed to the Lord and said, "Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm." What an excuse. I have a right to feel bad because you're so good and I knew it. We don't mind when God's good to us, do we? But boy, when he's nice to somebody who doesn't even love the Lord, I don't like that. Jonah prayed. He talked a one-sided prayer. That's why he ran from Nineveh rather than from going to Nineveh. He says, "I know it, Lord. You're just too good. You're too lenient. You're too merciful and gracious. I don't want to go and preach there because I knew who you are and you would relent from destroying them if they turned, and I hate them." What an awful guy. But we can get that way in our heart. I'm not prejudiced. I love everybody. But then things will come up in your life to test you. And what happens when you come across somebody that's different or says something against you or is your enemy or whatever? How do you get stirred up? What is the first emotion? Is it mercy and grace or anger? You know, we need to check ourselves out. This is quite a book, the book of Jonah, about God's mercy and grace, about who we are, about what we should do. We call ourselves, he called himself a prophet. And look at his heart. We call ourselves Christians. And Jesus said, they'll know who you are by your love one for another. There is no room for anything but love. Yeah, but let's be reasonable. Yeah, let's be reasonable. The fruit of the Spirit is love. We must love. Because we call ourselves Christians. Else don't call yourself a Christian. Not everyone who goes to McDonald's is a hamburger. Not everyone that calls himself a Christian is a Christian. That's fact. There's a good story to show us who we are. What is in there? What's that first emotion that comes out? Oh, God, you saved them. It could be a husband, a wife, a child, a boss, an enemy, someone you don't like. And God saves them. But you don't like that person. They've hurt you horribly in life. They've caused you grief. You know, you're bitter. You're thinking, you don't say it to them, but inside you're saying, I'd be better off without them. And God said, and you call yourself my son, my daughter? You see, we have to check ourselves out. Is love what's flowing from our heart? Is that what it is? Do I so care for one life? You know, a lot of people will say during this virus, why are we being so drastic when there's such maybe a 4 or 5% death rate and among those who are elderly or hurting? Well, because that 4 or 5% matters to me. And I don't want to catch something, even though I make it through because I'm healthy, but spread it to someone else. What if you were talking to this person and next week you found out they were dead? Then you'd understand why we're doing what we're doing in the country. Because you don't want to expose people to it. You know, we have to be conscious of others at all times, even if it inconveniences us. I could have been watching March Madness all day today. Now I've got to go sit home, and if it rains, nothing to do. I think God's showing us we can live without a lot of things. Spend more time with the family, with God, doing things other than having things in this world your God. He's like, hasn't he like taken it all away? And we need to check ourselves. I believe God is working through this. Everything he does, he works through. We have to just ask ourselves, what do you want, God? What do you want of me? What do you want of me? Am I so self-centered that I'm worried about myself? And am I going to have enough to eat and enough cares of this world satisfied? All this is gone, you're taking it all away. And why, when there's hardly anybody that's very deathly sick? Well, it's because others could get deathly sick. And the best way to stop it is to not expose people to it. So I understand what's going on. But, you know, sometimes we can become a Jonah. Next time you get a little angry about someone, just look in the mirror and say, oh, you Jonah. You know, his character, you know, you remember in chapter 1 he says, he's my God. He more or less says, you know, my God. And it's bizarre. He knows God. He knows his character because he says in verse 2, he knows the way God is, merciful, gracious, slow to anger. He knows God. But he's not like him. You see? We're to be Christ-like. He's not like his God. It seems Jonah wants his God to be like him. And we can get in that rut where, well, I want God to accept everything I do because that's what I want to do. This is what I want to believe. That's the way I want to feel about people. I want him to conform and pat Jim on the back and say, oh, that's okay, Jim, rather than just surrender to God and obey his word and love one another, bear good fruit. Do we ever get there where the flesh and our mind and understanding are running things and we dictate to God what to do? We need to be careful as Christians that we don't get in the flesh. Remember Peter counseling Jesus all the time? And what did God say? What did Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. Jonah is right in what he declares in verse 2. I fled because I know you're gracious, you're merciful, you're slow to anger, you're abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents from doing harm. You will spare these people rather than destroy them, Lord. I know you would do that. But God wants Jonah to be the same way. But Jonah's not. You remember Moses on Mount Sinai? Well, let's turn there to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus 34. You know, Moses wanted to see God, wanted to know God. So God says, okay, I'm gonna pass by, you know, and he's gonna proclaim through his name who he is to Moses. So in Exodus 34, verse 5, the Lord descended in the cloud, stood with him there, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, Jehovah, Jehovah God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. So Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. But see, God said the same thing as he proclaimed who he is to Moses. And I think we'll all agree, God is gracious and merciful. I am saved, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, and he relents from doing harm. God loves me. He loves you. God, you see, God, people want other people to perish, but God doesn't. We must remember, we're all his creation. All people, all over the world, we are his creation. There are no borders. And we read in Galatians, we've been set free, neither male nor female, slave nor free, you know, bond or servant. We're all one. Some believe, some don't. But God created man. not in just different parts of the world. He created man in one location, and then they spread out. If all of us were taking one of those tests, you know, to check your genealogy out, you know who we all go back to? Adam. Go back to Noah and then to Adam. We'd all go to the same place because God started from Adam and Eve. So we're no different. When we talk against one person in any part of the world, we're talking about against God's creation. And God doesn't want any to perish. Man chooses to. God wants, would love everyone to go to heaven. And they go by hearing the gospel. And so we are to preach it. Let's turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Verse 15. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. God says, there's life and good, and there's death and evil. Now, what would you choose? Life and good or death and evil? I know what I would choose. I have chosen. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your hearts turn away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. God pleading with the people. Isn't that awesome? Choose life. Please choose life. Wow. God wants all to live. Choose life. That's God pleading with man still today. Back to our text, verse 3. So we pick up with Jonah again. He says, therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Did you ever get to the point in life, maybe sick, maybe upset, things didn't work out in your life, you're just miserable, you're in a pity party, you're going down, 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 and you say, oh, I wish I were dead. Anyone here ever say that in their life? And then you get sick, and you say, I didn't mean it, Lord. And I can remember complaining about that and about a job one. Oh, I hate this job. I don't like this job. I don't want this job. And then they're passing out notices that people are getting laid off. I didn't mean it, Lord. Not me. I didn't mean it. We're so ungrateful until things start being taken away. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away to teach us. No, no, I didn't mean it. I'm happy. No, I want to live. I'm happy. I love the job. It's okay, Lord. So Jonah's in himself and he says, you know what? If you're not going to obey me, Lord, I wish I were dead. Better for me to die because I don't want these people saved. I don't know that I can live with that. Take my life, Lord. Better to die. What a pouting servant of the Lord. If things aren't going my way here, I'm better off dead. Proud and stubborn. And the Lord speaks, verse 4. I love this verse. Then the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? Is that quite a verse? Out of this whole book, that's one verse that probably we never underline but should. Is it right for you, Jim, to be angry? Is it right for you, Jonah, to be angry? Is it ever right for me to be angry? No. God's in charge. What a question to ask Jonah, huh? It kind of settles it. Hey, Jonah, you know who you are? Is it right for you to be angry? I reign. I rule. I'm God. I control life. I control death. Is it right for you to be angry? When we get angry at someone, please listen to that small, still voice saying, is it right? Is it right, Jim, that you're angry? I am sorry for all the times I ever got angry at anyone. Isn't it horrible when you think back? If you and someone else, your husband, your wife, your child, your parent, are angry, get it settled today. And remember this verse. Is it right for you to be angry? Who do you think you are? God? Running this world? Everybody catering to you? Catering to me? Jonah's self-centered, selfish. Jonah and God, like many of us in life, get like that. Hopefully we grow and mature as Christians. Matthew chapter 5, please. Matthew 5, verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. And there are people who say, yeah. I'm glad that says that in the Bible. And they don't go any further. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Whew. I used to share this verse a lot in marriage counseling. And people would go, what? You don't know this guy. I'd be on my knees every night. That's right. Bless those who curse you, who hate you, who spitefully use you and persecute you. That's not an option. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. You notice in verse 43, it says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your enemies and hate your neighbor. God always said, love your neighbor. When you check the Bible, you notice it says here, you have said. It came to the point where they started saying their own thing. Because he says here, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That came from man. The Bible, back in Deuteronomy, says, love your neighbor as yourself. We always go by God's word, not what's popular. Always go by God's word. You know, so God really gives him this pointed question. Is it right for you to be angry? And guess what? Jonah didn't say any more. Now he's okay. Verse 5. So Jonah went out of the city, sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat under it in the shade, till he might see what God would become of the city. Goes outside the city, the east side, the hill country. Takes care of himself, makes a little shelter, watches what will happen. Probably in his warped mind thinking, maybe he still will destroy it. Let's see what God's going to do. He can't let these people live, can he? These are evil people. I'm sure the Lord will destroy it. Sets up a tent, says, okay, I'm going to watch what's going to happen now. And the Lord prepared a plant, made it come up over Jonah that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was grateful for the plant. Oh, it got sunny and hot. God made me a plant. Isn't God great? What a warped guy. Anything that's for him is great. For somebody else, nah. You know, so Jonah was grateful for the plant. Thank you, God. But as the morning dawned, the next day, God prepared a worm. And it damaged the plant so that it withered. Uh-oh. But we know Jonah loves the Lord. He just was very thankful, right? This worm came, damaged the plant, and it withered. And it happened when the sun arose, Santa Ana's came, God prepared a vehement east wind, the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he, guess what? He wished death for himself, said, better for me to die than to live. Oh, miserable life. He had one good day. Next day's bad again. Plant dies. Sun's beating down on him. Oh, life is terrible. Where is God? You know, I'm going to die. God prepared this worm to eat up the plant. Made cover Jonah, delivered him from his misery. You know, you notice, though, in this, God prepared everything as you go through this book. God prepared this. God prepared this. The good and the bad. We know that all things work together for good to those that love God. God, it was so great yesterday. Why did you have that worm eat this plant today in my life? My security blanket is gone now. God's still on the throne. He's still going to take care of you. Do you think he wants to check out our attitude or have us check out our attitude? Probably expose us, because he already knows what's in our heart. But we need to see it exposed in order to change. So he shows us who we are. God's in this whole thing. He was grateful for the plant, not grateful for the Ninevites being delivered. But his attitude is, hey, whatever you do for me is good, God, but forget others. And notice, God prepared it all. And God in our lives teaches us through circumstances, through storms, through shade and comfort, through worms coming and destroying things, through all kinds of things in our life. He has a way of showing us he loves us and exposing us where we are so we could grow closer to him. He's not the God of good circumstances. He's Lord of all. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You sang that this morning. I did. We've got to mean it. Blessed be the, but he took that away from me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. People lose children. They lose lives. They lose parents. They lose loved ones. They lose jobs. They lose health. They lose all kinds of things in life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And you say, how can you say that? Well, how did Job say that? Because he knew the Lord. He was praising the Lord. It says he worshiped the Lord. You know that in it, God is working. It's painful. There's times of grief. There's times of joy. But we get through it with God. Without God, we don't. But when we stick to God, he's not the God of good circumstances only. Oh, it's all working out. Great. God's good. He gave me a plan. I have shade. Things are good today. Tomorrow, everything's taken away. Oh, that's not so good. He's still good. When we end the service, what do we say? God is all the time. If you don't believe it, don't say it today. I hope you say it. Because he's good all the time. But he's teaching us. He's showing us who we are. It's not that we go through these things so God can see how we're going to be, what our attitude will be, what our reaction will be. He already knows. Did you ever think about that? He wants to show us so we can see who we are. That's why we come to church. So when you hear a message like this and leave, you're convicted. But you know what? Conviction will only last as long as you change. Isn't that good? As soon as you change, you repent, you're free. Isn't that great? Don't live with the conviction. Leave here and change today. I need to leave here and change today. And life will be better for me today. God is teaching us. Verse 8, and it happened when the sun arose, he prepared this wind. Jonah said, I wish I was dead. Then God said to Jonah, it gives him another question, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? Now you're angry again. He's always angry when things don't go his way. Is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And he said, it's right for me to be angry. Even at the death. Boy, this guy did not know himself. Yeah, God, it's right for me to be angry. The plant's gone. Yeah, well, that's my job. Of course it's good for me to be angry, God. Oh, I hate that person. You know what they said to me? It's right for me to be angry. That's why I remember that verse. Is it right for you to be angry? Never. Sun beats on his head. He grows faint. Better to die. Not going to go my way in life, Lord. I'd rather not be here. So proud. Not a submitted servant. And he's suffering the consequences of his sin. God is trying to conform him. Life would have been much more better for Jonah if he just listened the first time. Could have avoided all that. I wonder in our life how much we could avoid if we would just live this way all the time and not have to look back and say, oh, I wish I didn't say that or I wish I didn't do that. It's all because he's not submitted to the Lord. He's not like his Father in heaven. We're not Christ-like at times. Life would be so much better. Verse 10, but the Lord said, you have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored. It's my creation, and you have pity on the plant, and you didn't labor to plant it nor make it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. I did all of that. Is it right for you to be angry, even unto death? Isn't that overreacting, Jonah? You know how we can get so crazy in our thinking at times? He says, you had nothing to do with the plant. It's mine. I put it there and I took it away. You see, he's trying to get across to him concerning the people. You can't get angry at people. They're mine. You have no right to get angry at people. They're mine. And I want them back. Preach. You're better off preaching to them so they can come back to me. And he's trying to teach him that through the plant, that, hey, I planted it. It's my plant. I made it grow. I decided to take it away, and you're angry when that was all my work? And it's my work with these people. I created them. Now I preach to them. Now they're saved. See, Jonah was angry because he's proud and self-centered, and he's been exposed. And he says in verse 11, the Lord says, and should I not pity Nineveh, just like the plant, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock? He says, and I'm talking about a lot of people here, Jonah, and you don't think that I should have done that? You don't have any pity on them? When he says 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, many believe it's talking about children that can't yet discern between their right and their left. 120,000 of those people. How many people were in there saved? Who knows? Wow. Something, it might mean that the city was 120,000, but it seemed to have been a greater city than that. So, God knows what he's talking about here. We're not sure. I wonder if Jonah got the point that he cared more for himself than any man, woman, or child, because there were a lot of infants killed in this, would have been killed in this. And he's saying, you don't care about that? And you care about a plant? That's how self-centered people are. They don't care about anyone else, man, woman, or child. They're just into themselves. And all God's good for them, that's all that matters. And when we can't say, oh, boy, I'd never do that. We can easily get into the flesh and get into ourselves. You see, we need to take orders from God. Put others first, God first. We serve the Lord. You know, let's turn to Matthew 5, 7 and close with this verse. Matthew 5, 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Do you want mercy in your life? Then you must be merciful. That's God's rule. Maybe things aren't going well for you. Are you merciful? Are you gracious? Are you loving? Because God's rule is what you give, that's what you're going to get back. Don't expect it. unless you're merciful, then he will be merciful to you. And that's the end of the book. And I'm sorry to see it end. I mean, I really liked it. I could do it again. But we'll go to something else. I think we're going to go to the book of John next week. Start the Gospel of John, which we haven't done for many, many years, because it displays Jesus Christ as God. Good book to be in. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us life and giving us real love. We thank you that we have this capacity to love and to be gracious and merciful. I pray that you would soften us, Lord, and that would be the way our lives are. Continually giving out what you've given to us. We need help, Lord. We need an attitude adjustment. We pray that as we go through the day, even today, rather than get angry, we would turn that to hearing your voice saying to us, do you think it's right to be angry? And convict us, Lord, and create in us a clean heart and renew in us a right spirit. We thank you for doing that. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship the Lord.